So we'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be, world
without end. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints.
Pray for us.
Okay, so here we have Luisa and the Triumph in the Divine Will, Volume 12, 423-21. Therefore, lay your human will within mine, and with your acts you shall come to extend a second heaven over the heads of all. So here what we're seeing is Luisa's role. And the reason we have the books is Jesus is offering this to us. He wants to see whether or not we want it. So we have to ask Jesus, does he want us to have this? We have to ask him. And if he wants us to have this, then we have to say, okay, Lord, I would really like this. So there's a couple of things that we have to do. So he says, lay your human will within my holy divine will, and with your acts you shall come to extend a second heaven over the heads of every soul, past, present, and future. And I, God, shall look at the acts of the creatures of all souls through your divine acts. And then he says, divine. He emphasizes this. These are not human. He goes, because they start from within my divine will, and you will force my eternal volition, my eternal will, to descend from heaven below the spheres so as to triumph over the evil of the human will. So we look at what Jesus is saying to Luisa, and it's very, very astonishing that as she enters into the divine will, she's entering into God's will, and therefore what Luisa is doing is not human, it's divine. Now, the reason God created us is he is so in love, he is so filled with love, that there were no other gods that he could share his life with. So what he did was he created us, he created Adam and Eve. He created humans so he could breathe into humans a divine life, image and likeness, not just to let God participate in us, but he also wanted us to participate in God. It's a mutual possession. So he says this, therefore, if you want my divine will to descend upon earth and my divine love to triumph, you must ascend beyond the spheres to dwell up there in heaven and extend your acts in my divine will. So this means that we can no longer be here doing human things. God wants us to begin to doing divine things. Now, as Catholics, we understand this. When the priest says, this is my body, that is a divine act. That's a heavenly act. When the priest says, I absolve you of your sins, that is Jesus absolving. It's not a human act. What human can forgive sins? So we as Catholics already understand this. When the priest consecrates hosts, it's not just one host that's Jesus. It's as many as consecrated. So what we're seeing is each host is 100% Jesus Christ. It's not just 1% of Jesus Christ. So as Catholics, we understand that our God is expecting more from us. Okay, he really wants us to begin to live this abundant life. So he says, therefore, he says, if you want my divine will to come down from heaven to earth, he says, you have to begin, you must, he says, ascend beyond the spheres. Okay, beyond earth and dwell in heaven. Extend your acts in my divine will. Then, he says, we shall descend together and we shall assail all the souls with my holy divine will, with my divine love. And we shall confuse them in such a way that they shall not be able to resist us. Another word for confuse is overwhelm. We are going to overwhelm mankind in such a way that they will not be able to say no to God. Therefore, from now, let us allow them to do what they want. And that's what's happening. You can see, you know, with abortion, with alternative lifestyles, with, homosexual marriages, with pornography, with drugs, with alcohol. God is saying, let them do what they want. He says, but he says to Louisa and to us, but I want you to live in my divine will and have patience. So we can't get upset about what we see our family and our friends and our neighbors doing. Well, you know, it's the faith has basically been lost. And so Jesus is saying, let them do what they want. I am going to win. God is going to be triumphant. Our Lady is going to be triumphant. So this is the happiness we have. And we heard that, with the people, speaking. Many times the things that bothered you before will not bother you now. Many times the things that would get you upset cannot get you upset now. And the reason is because this is Jesus reigning in us. You know, as you begin to live this life with the fiat, when something comes up and you just say fiat, Lord, you're in charge. I trust you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. I know that you're going to take care of the situation. Then God goes, good. Get out of my way and watch what I'm going to do. And that's the joy of this gift. This gift, has been said, there is no other way to live. There is no other way to live. I look at my family, I look at my friends, my neighbors, and they're all sad. They're oppressed. They are miserable. And the reason is because they have not and do not want at this point to know the divine will. But as we begin to live it, see, Jesus says, I want the divine will to reign in the midst of creatures. So as you begin to live in the divine will of a life of heaven, what happens at that point is when you walk into a mall, the divine will is in the midst of creatures. When you walk into a theater, the divine will is there in the midst of creatures. When you walk into your family, the divine will is there in the midst of creatures. And little by little, see this light, it's the light that the devil sees. Where does this light come from? The new Adam and the new Eve, Jesus on transfiguration, radiant in divine light. Our Lady of Guadalupe, radiant in the divine light, the woman clothed with the sun. And now they have given this light to Louisa. And when we start reading, we begin to participate in this light. Now, at first, the devil will be very annoyed with us because he sees with this light his kingdom's over. So what happens is things might go wrong at first. But as you enter into this gift, as you begin to read and study it, the devil flees from you. Because what is this light? It's the light of Jesus. It's the light of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And they want nothing to do with this because the demons thought, especially Lucifer, thought that he destroyed the woman without sin, Eve. He thought that he won. And now with Mary being the woman without sin, Mary conceiving the Son of God, Mary now living in the divine will, Mary now the Theotokos, and now Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, have a newborn, Louisa Picaretta. That's what Jesus calls her, the newborn, the firstborn of the divine will. He knows his kingdom's coming to an end. So the devil is trying anything to stop it. But as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, Jesus is victorious. Jesus is triumphant. Volume 15, 4:28-23. My daughter, do you think that living in my divine will is nothing? No. On the contrary, it is the all. It is everything. It is the fullness of all the divine sanctities. It is the absolute dominion of oneself, of one's passions, and of one's capital enemies. So it is to have God dominating us. Our passions disappear. If you love chocolate, if when you think of the word chocolate and you start to drool, okay, your passions have you, gotcha. What happens in the divine will is you say, no, Jesus, we want to have chocolate today. And Jesus never overeats. And what happens is as you begin to really say to Jesus and everything, Jesus, let's go for a walk. Jesus, let's go for a swim. Jesus, let's have something to eat. He will say at certain points, I've had enough chocolate. And what happens is you become free of one's passion. That, I'm just talking about chocolate. I'm not talking about other passions. One's capital enemies are controlled. You know, see, we are an addictive country. Addicted to television, addicted to food, addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, addicted to lust, sexuality, addicted to many things. And what God does is he begins to free us. And that's what I see with this great gift. Those that had trouble for years, all of a sudden, the difficulties are gone. How can this be? Right here, it says very clearly, the divine will is, it is everything. It's the fulfillment of all sanctities. It is the absolute dominion of oneself, the dominion of one's passions, the dominion of one's capital enemies. It is the complete triumph of God over the soul. God wins. That's why, see, the wonderful thing is we crucify to the cross all our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, and our sin. That's crucified with Christ. Okay? Once that is crucified with Christ, then we have to suffer the consequences of it. The consequences of being crucified with Christ is peace, joy, and happiness. There's no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. Why? Because it's crucified with Jesus. We are free. And if we fail, we go to confession, or we say a quick, I'm sorry, Lord, if it's not a mortal sin. And instantaneously, we're back in the kingdom. And you know it. This is the thing that's so amazing. So, as Jesus says, if the soul adheres, and I come to letting her live in my divine will, without ever again wanting to know her own human will, I, God, have nothing left to want from the creature. And the creature has nothing left to give me. All my yearnings are fulfilled. All my designs are realized. And there is nothing left but delighting in each other. This is the kiss of heaven and earth. See, God came to earth to find a bride. That's why he came to earth. He came to earth to find a bride. And that's why in volume 2, the very first chapter that Louisa wrote, in volume 2, Jesus says, Louisa says, on the very first day, February 28, 1899, that you must have the mystical marriage to begin to live in the divine will. Now, for any of us to say, I possess the mystical marriage is foolishness. Only the greatest saints in the history of the church have received the mystical marriage. Yet, Jesus said to Louisa when she was 17, where your spiritual life begins with a mystical marriage, all the other lives of the saints ended with a mystical marriage. So you look at St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Catherine of Siena, they received the mystical marriage and they died. There was nothing left to receive. There was nothing left to have. With Louisa, Jesus says, you receive the mystical marriage. Now go to bed and stay there. Do not eat, do not drink, do not sleep for the rest of your life. And she obeyed. She didn't even lean against the pillows. She loved Jesus so much. What's really amazing is if we link ourselves to Louisa, Jesus tells us, we possess everything that Louisa possesses. This is why I am confident that I can live in the divine will. Nobody's living in the divine will yet. To live in the divine will means you don't go to confession because you're not sinning. I have to go every week. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. We understand that one day when we prove to Jesus that we want this more than anything else, Jesus is going to give us this gift. So he's looking. Who wants this gift? Who longs for this gift? Who has made this gift their everything? And that's what he's doing. And if we link ourselves to Louisa, we possess the mystical marriage. Now, the mystical marriage to me is the proposal of Jesus to his bride. And when a Jewish man falls in love with a woman, a Jewish woman, he goes to the father first and makes a covenant. And then he says, he brings some wine and he pours a glass of wine and he takes a sip and he hands it to the woman. And if she takes the sip, then he stands up and he says, I am going to go and prepare a place for you. That's exactly what Jesus said to us. And when I come back, I'm going to take you with me so that where I am, you will always be. And he immediately goes to his father's house and he builds the wedding chamber. And only the father knows how to build the wedding chamber. And at that point, until the father says you it's ready, the son keeps on working. Jesus is coming back for his bride so that we can be with him forever. This reason for the divine will, and this is why it's now, is Jesus is coming back. You have to understand, this is extraordinary times. And if you just open your eyes and look, you'll see all the signs. They're all around. It's very, very clear. So Jesus says this. He says, all my yearnings are fulfilled. All my designs are realized. And there is nothing left but delighting in each other. God and man and God. It is true that I, Jesus, came upon earth to redeem man. But my primary purpose was that the divine will might triumph over the human will by according to these two wills together and making them one, taking the human will into that divine will from which it had gone out. So God is bringing the unity back. What the devil stopped, God is going to bring complete healing. Jesus says that when a child falls into the well and is at the bottom of the well and broken and bleeding, the parents are upset. And even if they redeem the child, pull the child out of the well, the child is still broken and bleeding. And the parents are not happy until that child is healed the way it was before the fall. That's exactly what Jesus is doing with this gift. He has given us all that is necessary, all the sacraments of the sacramentals of the church. He's given us the dogma and the doctrine of our faith to help us get ready for this gift, the gift of sanctification. Jesus says very clearly, this was the main offense that my celestial father received from Adam, and I was to compensate the father for it. Otherwise, I would not give the father full satisfaction. But in order to obtain the first purpose, first I had to issue the second, and that is to save mankind, to give him my hand since he had fallen, to wash him of the mud in which he was lying. How could I say, come and live in my divine will, if he was horrid to look at, or was under the slavery of the infernal enemy? Therefore, having obtained the second purpose, that I was to secure the first one. So the second purpose was redemption, and the first purpose was that my divine will be done on earth, as it is in heaven, that man who had gone out of my divine will enter into mine once again. In order to obtain this, I, God, give to this first creature all my merits, all my works, all my steps, my palpitating heart, my wounds, my blood, my whole humanity to dispose who? Louisa. Okay? To prepare Louisa to let her enter into my divine will. You see, Louisa's human. She's not the mother of God. She's not the son of God. Adam was human. He was not the son of God. He was not the mother of God. But he fell from such a height that it took the son of God and the mother of God to redeem, are they to co-redeem with Christ. And now, after 2,000 years, now they have a newborn, Louisa, a firstborn. What does he say about Louisa? He says very clearly, and in order to obtain this, may your kingdom come on earth as in heaven, I, God, had to give to this first creature, Louisa, all my merits, all my works, my steps, my palpitating heart, my wounds, my blood, my whole humanity to dispose her, to prepare her, to let her enter into my divine will. Okay, hold on. In fact, she must take the complete fruit of my redemption And then, as though triumph entered the possession of the immense sea of my supreme will, I do not want her to enter as a stranger, but as a daughter. Not as poor, but as rich. Not as ugly, but as beautiful. And if she were another me. Therefore, I, Jesus, want to centralize my whole life in you, Louisa, and to the souls who are linked to Louisa. Do you see how, who is this, we did the titles of Louisa. We got 421 pages of titles, single space, of what Jesus says about Louisa. She is astonishing. And see, that's why, Cardinal Burke said, when he hears about Louisa, he's overwhelmed by it. Who is this Louisa Picaretta that these titles are given to her? I, God, want to centralize my whole life in you, Louisa, and in the souls that are linked to you. God wants to centralize his whole life in us because of Louisa. He's so happy that finally he has found one, that when we link ourselves to Louisa, he wants to give us the same thing that he gave to her. And while Jesus was saying this, it was though many seas were coming out of him, which poured upon me, Louisa, and I remained inside of them, sunken, and at the same time a sun beating down with its light received the complete fruit of redemption in order to be able to give the complete fruit of its divine will to Louisa. See, when Louisa wrote, she never talked about herself. So she would always say the creature, she would always say the one, she would say the, you know, it's this whole 36 volumes are about Louisa Picaretta. She is the one who starts a new order of creation. And Jesus is offering this to us. Now, it wasn't St. Francis. It wasn't St. Thomas Aquinas. It wasn't St. Anthony. It's to us that he is giving Louisa. This is what's so completely astonishing. That's why the title is Louisa and the Triumph of the Divine Will. It's always Louisa. And as you get to know her, wait till you see the miracles that are going to happen through her. The miracles that I know of that have happened already are astonishing. But I know that God wants us to know his little newborn. And the miracles that are going to come are going to be so astonishing that, well, it's so astonishing that in volume 24, this is what Jesus says. That the Jews will be converted, then the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Muslims, the Protestants, everyone will become Catholic. Why? Because Adam possessed the universal life, the Catholic life. And when Adam lost it, the new Adam, Jesus, the new Eve, Mary, started the Catholic life over again. I mean, to the point of, you know, bringing the church to Rome. And now, Jesus says, now this gift is going to be given to the whole world again. There will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. Everyone will live this universal life. Everyone. What's coming, you know, when you get to know the people in the divine will, they really become your family. You know, what they love, you love. What they delight in, you delight in. And again, the spiritual is the most important aspect of our lives. What happens is we begin to live truly a life of heaven with all those that we meet in the divine will. And everyone, Jesus says, will be living in the divine will. This miracle that's coming is going to astonish everyone. Jesus says, Louisa says, which poured upon me, and I remain inside of them, sunken at the same time the sun beating down with its divine light. I mean, she's in this. Received the complete fruit of redemption in order to be able to give complete fruit of its divine will to Louisa. It was the sun of the eternal volition, which celebrated the entrance of the human will into its own. You see, it celebrated Louisa entering into God. And Jesus says, This divine will of mine grew within my humanity like a flower, which I transplanted from heaven into the true Eden of my terrestrial humanity. It was germinated in my blood. It sprouted it from my wounds to make of it the greatest gift to the creature, Louisa. And now to us. See, heaven is not complete. Heaven is not totally happy. Do you want to know why? Because St. Thomas Aquinas says that we are not spirits. When we die, we need a body and a soul. There's only two bodies in heaven. Jesus' and Mary's body, glorified. There's two bodies in Eden, Enoch and Elijah. Okay, they're coming back. But to live in paradise, you need a body and a soul. And it's really funny. I just buried my brother-in-law, and we were talking about that. And in the Middle Ages, what would happen is when the man and wife died, the husband and wife died, they bury themselves feet to feet. Their feet would be right next to each other. And the reason is when the resurrection came, they would stand up and look at each other, you know. And I don't know if it was the woman's plan or the man's plan, but we're all going to rise from the dead. We're all going to have glorified bodies. We were not made to live this body. When a friend of mine, God gave him the glorified body, and he looked at his arm and it was glowing, and it was a beautiful light. Talking about the divine will, beautiful light, and he could see the arteries and the veins and the tendons and the nerves. He could see the blood flowing through the arteries. He looked and he said to Jesus, "Why am I so happy?" And Jesus said, "Because we are looking at ourselves. See, our oneness with God, we're not going to be separated from God. God and man are going to be one." The reason God came to earth was to find a bride. He wants to be one with us, fused with us. That when the priest puts a drop of water into the chalice, that water fuses and diffuses and becomes wine. We are that drop of nothing. God wants us to participate in divinity. And when you read 2 Peter, it's very clear we are called to be divinized. That's God's plan. And we have come to the point, unfortunately, have fallen so far beyond the faith, in today's society, that most people look at this life as the only life. And when things go wrong, they end up committing suicide. You know, I remember one time, I think it was in Medjugorje, somebody died, and they asked Our Lady, why did he commit suicide? And Our Lady said, "He didn't have my son, and he didn't have me. All he had left was suicide." And then she said, "If you don't have me, if you don't have my son, that's all that everyone's going to have." See, what's coming? See, Jesus needs us to help everybody. See, Mother Teresa went out and picked up one child at a time. What God, Jesus is asking us is to bring everyone into the kingdom. He doesn't want to lose one soul. And there will be souls who will not want to be in heaven. And that's unfortunate for them. But Jesus is asking us, would you help me? So anime you to me. Would soul help me bring my children into the kingdom? So this job we have is very, very important. Jesus says, "My divine will grew within my humanity. And it was transplanted from heaven to Eden, to my terrestrial humanity, my holy humanity. And now I've made of this, my body, the greatest gift to us, to Louisa and to us. My daughter, when my queen mama came out into the light of the day, everyone was turned toward Mary. And as though having one single gaze, all pupils looked at Mary, who was to dry their tears and bring them to the life of the longed-for Redeemer." You see, this is Mary's role. All creation centered in Mary, feeling honored to obey her wishes. The divinity itself was all for Mary, all intent on Mary, in order to prepare her and to form her with surprising graces and the space to which the eternal Word was to descend to take on human flesh. If the virtue were not present within us, that while we operated, deal or speak with one creature, we knew, do not neglect the others, all would have said to us, leave all of us aside, think only of this virgin, give centralize everything in the Blessed Mother, that she may let the one God, triune God, come to whom our hope, our lives, and all our goods are placed. They knew that Jesus was coming. The Son was coming. Therefore, the time in which the Sovereign Queen came out into the light of the day can be called the time of my Mama. This, my daughter, can be called your time. So what happened 2,000 years ago was to get ready for Jesus to redeem mankind. It was the time of Mary. Now, he says, now is the time of Luisa. All are turned to you, Luisa. And that's what St. Padre Pio said. The world and the church is going to focus on Luisa Picaretta in the third millennium. The world and the church. Now, you get a high-powered scope, you get a high-powered rifle, and you're looking 1,000 feet down. You're focused on one thing. Even though everything is 360 degrees around you, you're focused on one spot. St. Padre Pio said the world in the church is going to be focused on Luisa Picaretta. I can tell you, there's going to be so many miracles. Everyone, the Muslims are going to say, Muhammad, who? I want Jesus Christ. I keep going back to Cardinal Burke. He said, what I've heard about Luisa overwhelms me. Now, this is one of the greatest cardinals around. You know, overwhelms me. It's the same thing. As you read, I'll give you the titles. I think there's 2,200 titles that Jesus gave Luisa. As you read these titles, and here's one title here. Luisa, now can be called your time. I mean, that's a title of Jesus gave her. All turn toward you, Luisa. I hear the voice of everyone as if they were one alone. They are praying to me, God. They are pressing me, God, that my divine will may reacquire its absolute divine rights over you, Luisa Picaretta, so that acquiring its total dominion, it may pour into you, Luisa Picaretta, all the fullness of all the goods that it established to give if the creature, Adam, had not withdrawn from my divine will. I mean, who is this Luisa Picaretta that now is receiving everything that Adam lost? I mean, and Jesus says, I want to give this to you as well. I'm so happy that I found one. I want to give it to all who want it. And Jesus says, the divine will is for everyone, but he said, in reality, it's for those who want it. Now, I mentioned before, it's not your family, it's not your friends, it's not your neighbors, it's not your co-workers, it's not your parishioners. They have other things that they want. Jesus has given this to you, and the more you want it, the sooner the kingdom's coming. Jesus is very, very clear on that. Ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. The prayer tonight, ask anything to my Father in my name, and he will give it to you. But how much more the Holy Spirit? See, now, thinking of the Holy Spirit, we know that Pope Leo XIII consecrated in 1900 the century to the Holy Spirit. Okay? We know that in 1960s, John the 23rd prayed for a second Pentecost. We know that John Paul II in 1998, at the end of the century of praying for the Holy Spirit, had on Pentecost Sunday, the year of the Holy Spirit, you know, cried out, Vene Creator Spiritus, come Holy Spirit. He cried out again, Vene Creator Spiritus. I remember sitting there and I said, wow, he's calling on the Holy Spirit, you know. Then he went, Vene, and then all of a sudden it like hit all of us. 100,000 people went, come Holy Spirit, with all the bishops, with the Pope. At the end of a century of praying for the Holy Spirit. I said, the world cannot be the same anymore. It cannot be the same. And what's so great is, if you understand who Luis is, and if you go to volume 17, May 4th, 1925, it's the key to who Luis is. It's volume 17, May 4th, 1925. It is a very important chapter. It's almost in the middle of all 36 volumes because Jesus says, this is the centerfold. I want to show you what I've got planned for the world. So volume 17, May 4th, 1925. You understand all the Pentecostals are praying for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. All the charismatics are praying for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it's the Spirit that Jesus has breathed into Louisa. It's coming. It's very, very close. So he says, My daughter, can be called your time. All turn toward you, Louisa. All are turned toward you, Louisa. I hear the voice of everyone, as if they were one alone, praying to me, pressing me, that my divine will may reacquire its absolute divine rights over you, Louisa, so that acquiring its total dominion, it may pour into you, Louisa, all the fullness of its goods it had established to give to, if Adam had not withdrawn from my divine will. So the whole of heaven, the celestial Mama Mary, all the angels, all the saints, all are turned toward you, Louisa, for the triumph of my divine will. Because their glory in heaven will not be complete if my divine will does not have its complete triumph on earth. Everything was created for the total fulfillment of the supreme will until heaven and earth return into the circle of the eternal volition of God, the will of God. They will feel their works, their glory, their beatitude as though halved. Because not having found its complete fulfillment in the creation, the divine will cannot give what it had established to give. That is, the fullness of God's goods, the fullness of God's effects, the fullness of God's joys, the fullness of God's happiness, which the divine will contains. This is why they are all longing that my divine will itself is all for you, Louisa, and intent on you, Louisa, and holds nothing back of the graces of the light of whatever it takes to form in you, Louisa, the greatest prodigies, which is its fulfillment and total triumph. Which one do you think is the greater prodigy? That a little light remains enclosed in the sun, or that the sun remains enclosed in the little light? And I, Louisa says, I would certainly be more prodigious if the little light had enclosed the sun. And indeed, it seems impossible to me that this may happen. And Jesus says, what is impossible for the creature is impossible for the creature is possible for God. The little light is the soul, Louisa. And my divine will is the sun. Now, my divine will must give so much to the little light as to be able to make of it a circle and be enclosed in it. And since the nature of light is to spread its rays everywhere, while remaining in the triumph of the circle, it shall spread its divine rays to give the life of my divine will to every human being who wants it. Where is the light of the divine will? It's found in the soul of Louisa. This is why the Vatican is astonished by Louisa. As they read this, they're not talking about a saint. They're not talking about a holy person. They're not talking about a good person. They're talking about what Jesus says, the circle of the divine, the circle of light of the divine will that will be given to all mankind is found in the soul of Louisa. This is astonishing. This is the prodigy. Wait a minute, so we just missed it. It's better to find ways to give light to everyone. Okay. This is the prodigy of prodigies, which the whole of heaven longs for. There is nothing, therefore, give broad field to my divine will, be opposed in nothing. And that's what he says to us. As you read this, if you don't understand this, I remember the first thing I read almost 40 years ago when it was explained to me was, you look to the heavens as if in a mirror and see God. And I prayed about that, and it was just so clear. God could do nothing less. If we are in God's image and likeness, if that's what we're supposed to be, we could look to the heavens as if in a mirror and see God. How can this happen? By what God has given to Louisa. This is the prodigy of prodigies, which the whole of heaven longs for. Therefore, give broad field to my divine will. Be opposed in nothing. It's the same thing for us. Do not sadden God by saying, I don't believe that. I've had people say that to me. I've had theologians say that to me. I don't believe that. And at that point, God says, fine, and backs away. I can't give you any more. They limited God. We can't limit God with this gift. I keep on saying, I've got a pea brain. You have to tell me what this is about. And everything that I read, everything that I've read is so magnificent. It is so beautiful that you yourself, Lord, have said to Louisa that if you're opposed to nothing, great things are going to happen. Our Lady didn't say, well, I'm not sure. She said, I want to please God in all things, but I don't know man. How can I do this? How can I please God to do this? It's the same thing. If you don't understand this, just give your fiat. Lord, I've got a pea brain. You're going to have to explain it to me. 5 pages later, 10 pages later, as you read, there's your answer. That's what you're going to discover. Every question that you have will be answered if you continue to read. So that was established by God, and the work of creation may have its fulfillment. So Jesus is asking us to be opposed to nothing. Okay? And I'll tell you, this is just the best thing in the world. Okay, one more, and then we'll end. Volume 19, 6:15-26. My daughter, the triumph of my divine will is connected with creation and with redemption, and it can be called one single triumph, since a woman was the cause of the ruin of man. It was the virgin woman that, after 4,000 years, letting my holy humanity united to the eternal word be born of her, Mary, provided the remedy for the ruin of fallen man. Now that the remedy for man is formed, is my divine will alone left to be left without its full completion, while it has its prime act both in creation and redemption? Of course, it can't. This is why after 2,000 years more from when Jesus was born, we, the triune God, have chosen another virgin as the triumph and fulfillment of our divine will, forming its kingdom in your soul, Louisa, and making itself known with its knowledges in the 36 volumes. My divine will has given you, Louisa, its hand to raise you, Louisa, to living in the unity of its light, so that you, Louisa, may form your life in the divine will, and the divine will may form its life in you. See, because of Louisa, everything is over. Because of Louisa, the kingdom has begun. Remember what Jesus said 2,000 years ago? He says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Okay, that was 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years later, because of Louisa, where is the kingdom? It's found in Louisa. And if we link ourselves to Louisa, there's no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. Why? Because our human will is crucified with Jesus. This becomes our divine mirror. We look at Jesus crucified, and we see that they're crucified Good Friday. We see our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, our sin, it no longer has life. We begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness. We begin to live heaven on earth. Again, this is why after 2,000 years more, we, triumph God, have chosen another virgin of this triumph and fulfillment of divine will, forming its kingdom in your soul, Louisa, making itself known in its knowledges. My divine will has given you, Louisa, its hand to raise you to living in the unity of its light, so that you, Louisa, may form your life in the divine will, and the divine will may form its life in you. See, this is image and likeness. You have to understand this. And after forming its dominion in you, Louisa, it forms the connection through which to communicate its dominion to all the other creatures who want this. And just as a descendant of the womb of the Immaculate Virgin, the Word did not remain in the womb for her alone, but it formed the connection of communication for all creatures, and gave myself to everyone as a remedy for everyone. And he says, the same will happen with you, Louisa. But having formed its kingdom in you, Louisa, my supreme will forms the communications to make itself known to all creatures. And again, you look at some of the youth today, they're tattooed, they're pierced, they're carved, they're branded. They're pagans. But the great thing about pagans is they can be converted. Wait till you see the worldwide conversion that's coming. Where, like I said, the Muslims are going to say, I want to be Catholic. I want to be baptized. Everyone will want to have this universal life. How can this happen? It's because what God has planned with Louisa. The greatest conversions of the world are coming in. St. Louis de Montfort told us that. He says, in the final days, there'll be the greatest saints in the history of the world, history of the church, and it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. That's the divine will. So he says, everything I, Jesus, have told you, Louisa, about the divine will, the knowledges that I have given you, Louisa, the way and the how of living in my divine will, my making known to you how the divine will wants, how the divine will yearns for mankind to return into its arms and to enter once again into its origin of the eternal will, which from which Adam came, are all ways of communication, bonds of love, transmissions of light, a breeze to make them breathe the air of my divine will, and therefore disinfect the air of the human will, and a mighty wind to conquer and uproot the most rebellious human wills. I am sure that those that hate God will be turned to love God. I am sure of it. What God is going to do, he says that in the third of three appeals. He says, you have not come after me. And since you have come after me, I'm going to come after you. And I'm going to wage war against mankind. But it's not a war of blood, it's a war of love. And mankind will not be able to turn me away again. This is what Jesus says. I mean, this is just great. So I think we'll end there. What time is it anyways? Okay. I just heard that. Okay, so we'll end there, okay, and we'll begin again tomorrow in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's read on the last page here the prayer of the glorification of the servant of God, Louisa Picaretta, by Archbishop Piccieri. O august and most holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise and thank you for the gift of your servant, Louisa Picaretta. She lived, O Father, in your divine will, becoming under the action of the Holy Spirit, in conformity with your Son, obedient even to death on the cross, victim and host pleasing to you, thus cooperating in the work of redemption of mankind. Her virtues of obedience, humility, supreme love for Christ and the Church lead us to ask you for the gift of her glorification on earth, so that your glory may shine before all, and your kingdom of truth, justice, and love may spread all over the world, in the particular charisma of the Fiat Voluntas Tua, Sicut in Cielo et in Terra. We appeal to her merits to obtain from you, most holy Trinity, the particular grace for which we pray with an intention to fulfill your divine will. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And if you can pray in the rounds book here, Friday evening prayer tonight, okay? If you can. And it's good to pray with somebody. Jesus says, "Where two or three are gathered," and one take the first part, and the other take the second part. But watch what God's going to do. Let God have His way with you tonight. Thank you.